You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is? What it do? Welcome to Fresh Take. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. Welcome to the ISO. It is the 16th of June, 2022, and we have a new NBA champion. The West Coast has a champion again, and this time it's on the Bay. The Golden State Warriors are your NBA champions for the fourth time in 8 years. Stephen Curry walks away, finally getting his finals MVP. It looked a little dicey there at the beginning there, but great defensive effort by the Dubs as Boston kind of roared up to a 10-point lead at the beginning, and then the Dubs were able to kind of make their way back. And just what a great story for this Golden State squad. You know, the whole narrative for ESPN that they had was that they were at the bottom, that they finished in last place 2 years ago. Now, I mean, this isn't a normal last place, right? We're not talking about your Charlotte Hornets or your Minnesota Timberwolves or your OKCs for them being at the bottom. So I'm not exactly going to go that far for them, but it had a lot to do with injuries, right? Steph with his finger and Dre was beat up. And, of course, the big one was the injuries, the back-to-back injuries that happened to Klay. And the scary thing is about this Dubs team is the window is not closed. The window is wide open for them to still potentially get two. Because you look at where this foundation is there and they still have Wiseman, who never played at all this year, Kuminga, barely played at all. They got Moses Moody as well. So they have three young studs there that they can develop and go forward. I can't imagine that the Warriors will do any major moves now, trading a Wiggins or one of these young guys. If you had heard, there was always that Wiggins and Kuminga, Wiggins and Wiseman pairing, right? That we kept on hearing about that, oh, maybe they would trade one of those two and try to get another piece. There's no need for the Dubs to do that anymore. There's no need for them to do that. They're the NBA champs. Now, the West next year, it's going to be tough. You know, you're going to have a Denver team that's going to get Jamal Murray. They're going to get Michael Porter back. So that's going to be a rough hill up. Phoenix, we'll see what they do with DeAndre Ayton, right? We know that he wants out. So we'll see where they go. The Mavs, they just got Christian Wood. So they got a big there. They can shoot the three. So that's huge for them. And we saw how much they struggled with the big in that series with the Mavs and the Dubs there. But tonight, we'll talk about the future here in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more right now about the present. And a great game tonight from Steph Curry. He bounces back after a tough game that they had the other night. He goes 6 of 11 from downtown tonight. He has 34 points. He gets 7 boards, 7 assists. Like I said, en route to winning his first finals MVP. Maybe it should have been his second, you know, the Iguodala one. Who knows if Iggy should have won that or not. There was a little bit of buzz, obviously, for Wiggins to potentially take a finals MVP run with the great games that Wiggins had previously. But from my understanding, I believe it's a unanimous MVP for Steph and well-deserved for him now. He, I believe, is the only player in the history of the NBA that has a undisputed regular season MVP and a finals MVP. And if you remember this year, he won the All-Star MVP as well. So an All-Star MVP this year for Steph and a finals MVP. One off of getting the trifecta, although he wasn't in that conversation, as that was kind of more for the two big men with Joker and with Embiid. And this game just came down to just solid defense for this squad. They, like I said, it was a great first quarter, it seemed like, for Boston, right? They got up to that nice 10-point lead and then an 11-0 run to shut down the fourth quarter. for this Golden State team, and then they really didn't look back. They come out of the second quarter and they blissed out 27-17 in that second quarter play. Boston has a nice third quarter, winning the third quarter 27-22, but again, it was the defense that really, really was a big effort for this Golden State team, and that's kind of where they've been doing. And look, it's so funny because everyone was praising so highly of the Boston defense and how great Boston had been overall. But 22 turnovers for the Celtics in this one. Out-rebounded as well, 44-41. I think the big thing that everyone's going to be looking at and the big story in the next few days as we look at this series will be the play of Jason Tatum. 13-pointer him tonight. He goes 6 of 18 from the lineup. And I think, you know, a big contributor to that you got to look at is the play of Andrew Wiggins on him. Andrew Wiggins locked him up and did such a good job defensively on him and really made Jason Tatum. And look, you know, there's been some speculation if Tatum is suffering from some kind of injury or what's going on there. I say, like, he didn't have the Kobe armband on today. You know, if you don't have that Kobe armband on, you know, are we sure like that? You know, like, that's a big deal, not having that Kobe armband on. So that was a little bit, I think that was a minor issue there that he didn't have the Kobe armband on. But, you know, Tatum is young. He's 24 years old. He's going to learn from this. I thought the best player that the Celtics had all series was Jaylen Brown. He had 34 points tonight, 12 of 23 from the field. He turned the ball over, though, five times. Him and Tatum together combined for 10 turnovers. And you can't have two of your best players combining for turnovers like that. You're never going to win overall. Derek White, I mean, don't get it wrong. Derek White was huge for the Celtics in these playoffs. He helped them win some games. But in these finals, man, he just disappeared. 16 minutes tonight, 2 points, one rebound. He goes 1 of 6 from the line. The other night, in 21 minutes, 1 point, one rebound. The best game I guess he had was game four when he had 16 points in 35 minutes, but yeah, 7 before that, 12 before that. So against Golden State, he really, really struggled. Whereas in Miami, he had that 22 point night. So remember, they traded a first round pick for Derek White too, that the Spurs are going to be adding on. Grant Williams, he looked a little bit beat up down the stretch too. Al Horford, double-double. You know, it was the one theme for this entire run is I really wanted to see Al Horford get his flowers. He was one of the few guys that I really wanted to see get that because, you know, he's a vet that I've really liked. And Horford had a great game tonight, 19-14. He shot 6 of 8 from the field, 4 trays of this, went 4 or 5 from downtown. And I thought Rob Williams did great too. He had 10 points, 5 blocks, and a healthy Rob Williams next year. You got to think, you know, we'll see where Gobert goes and all that kind of stuff. But you got to think next year with a healthy Rob Williams, he is going to be one of the leaders for Defensive Player of the Year. I thought he was outstanding for the Celtics squad. So before we get more into the Dubs, I think you have a great foundation here overall for this team. We'll see what they – it's a weak free agency, so we'll see how they draft and – Horford's 36. He'll be turning. He just turned 36. His birthday was June 3rd. So he'll be turning 37 around next year. So he's getting up there. So maybe one or two more years, maybe left for Al. So maybe looking for a little bit more help at the power forward position. I would assume that Stevens will stay busy and try to figure some additional help for this Celtics team going forward. I think, you know, the bench at times was a little bit up and down for them. You look at the bench and Pritchard tonight, just 7 minutes, didn't really do anything for them. Naismith, nothing for them. And like I said, Derek White wasn't really anything for them as well. So, and Grant Williams, I believe Grant Williams may have been injured. So I think for Boston, that'll be the thing that they need to look forward to is maybe a little bit, maybe someone else at the four, because of Horford aging a little bit. I think he'll be fine next year for another title run by them, but helping with the bench. And Celtics fans can hold their head high, right? You had a tremendous series against a Nets team that has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and you swept them, right? So that was a hard sweep. I mean, it came down to, in game one, Jason Tatum with that layup at the buzzer. And if that doesn't happen, they most likely, you know, they don't sweep that series for sure. And who knows where the momentum goes. I felt like when that shot went down, the momentum entirely switched. They beat the NBA, the defending NBA champions, Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, Chris Middleton's not there, but still, you beat them. You beat a number one seed in Miami, and you pushed this team. It wasn't until game four when Steph really started getting cooking. Up until that point, Boston looked like they were going to raise banner 18 and take the lead for championships in a season. But Boston, a good fundamental there to go forward with. As for this Dubs team, again, so just being the NBA champions, and it's the thing that I am just amazed with of what they have overall right now, is that they're so solid overall for youth-wise that they have, right? We mentioned they have the Wiseman, they have Kuminga, and they have Moses Moody. So just a very talented squad here overall for the Golden State Warriors. And Steph just being at the head of it tonight, 34 points, and just seeing the emotion come out of him. There's that old takes exposed tonight that we saw, where Charles Barkley was talking to Clay and saying the window was shut. This was back in 2019. And, we know the window's not closed. And again, and I'll say it a million times on the pod I did previously, on this one tonight, if I do one later this week, it's because of some of these young guys that they had, right? And Kuminga and all those guys didn't play any meaningful minutes down the stretch here. But it's a bright future there in Golden State, so that's going to open the door for them quite a bit. And Draymond, Draymond was starting to get dunked on, and people saying he didn't deserve to be on an NBA court and all that stuff. And Dre was great tonight. He shot 2 of 5 and a big three down the stretch. He got a double-double tonight, 12 rebounds, 12 points. He almost had a triple-dub there. I think the thing, too, with Dre, he's a Hall of Famer in my book. And you're looking at this team now that has three guaranteed Hall of Famers on the team, with Draymond, with Clay, and Steph, right? And Wiggins is, just with how light the NBA – Simmons was bringing this up in his pod the other day, just with how light the resume can be at times for the Hall of Fame. Like Wiggins now, he has a Rookie of the Year, has an All-Star starter, and now has an NBA championship. He's building. It's a long way to go for Andrew Wiggins. But and Iguodala, there will be some arguments if Andre Iguodala is a Hall of Famer or not, right? He has that Finals MVP that he had previously, the one that maybe he stole from Steph. And now he is also a 4-time NBA champion. So you have to wonder what's going to happen there for him. I believe that was potentially the last time we will ever see Andre Iguodala on a court. And the broadcast crew there definitely made it seem like it. He's 38 years old, so if that was the last we saw Iguodala, goes out, 4-time NBA champion. You almost wondered if they were looking for him to get a basket at the end there. And Iggy, as always, the selfless player, passes it off to Steph there at the end. And Otto Porter, I think he had a great role in this team. I thought he had some really strong playoff games that I really, really liked seeing from him in this series. I think Kevon Looney, he just got the boards, did what he needed to do in this. And then Jordan Poole, another one of those. I haven't hammered him with the Kamingas and the Moody's and the Wisemans, maybe just because he was part of this run and those three are still to come, right, on this squad. But he had a nice playoffs. He really ascended in this. And now he's an NBA champion. GP2, just, one of the great stories of this season, of a guy that has been grinding, been in the G League, 10-day contracts, and finally found his spot. And when he got hurt in that Memphis series, you could tell why the Dubs were so upset and how much he really did mean to them, right? He meant a lot to this Dubs team, just defensively, of what he could do. And tonight he ends up with 3 steals. He got 5 fouls. He was definitely making sure that he earned every single second of it. But a big effort there from GP2. And now the Warriors are champions once again. Like I said, 4 times in 8 years. that's up there. I think it's probably the best dynasty we've seen since the Spurs, you have to say, and they feel kind of like this generation Spurs, right? Where they just good foundation of a GM with Bob Myers, like the Spurs have with R.C. Buford, and then a great coach with Steve Kerr, who sat under the Pop tree and the Phil Jackson tree for all those years. And, you know, we haven't talked about Kerr that much, but now Kerr enters into that realm, right? He is in that Phil Jackson and that Popovich and that red tier, at least maybe a little bit under. I don't want to get too carried away, but, you know, he's taken a team to the finals now six times as well, right? And that stuff has to matter too, right? So Steph now is 4-2 in the NBA Finals, losing one to the Cavs that maybe they very well should have won if it wasn't for the Draymond injury. And then you look at the Raptors championship that, you know, if Klay doesn't get hurt, maybe Steph right now is a perfect 6-0. So if Steph has a perfect 6-0, I think we're looking at him a lot differently right now. But he's 4-2 in the finals and gets his finals MVP, had the All-Star MVP this year, two back-to-back unanimous situations for him. So it's phenomenal, really, when you see and the greatest shoot. I mean, look at Steph did this year, right? Like I mentioned, he wins the All-Star MVP. I can't remember, it's so long ago now, if he set the record for points there. I think he just came close, but he definitely set the record for three-pointers there. And then he set the overall NBA three-point record this year and obviously is blasted by that. So he sets that, has the best All-Star game that we could have seen from him, and then goes and wins another NBA championship. So that's quite a run for Steph when you really look at it, of breaking the record for threes in a season, having the All-Star game that he had, winning that MVP there at the finals now, and being the first NBA player to have a unanimous finals and regular season MVP. The conversation the next few days and all the talking head shows and all the podcasts, whether it be a First Take or Bill Simmons or whatever you want to have, it's going to be now if Steph is a top 10 player. And when you look at the players that he's in that conversation with, it's kind of hard to not have him as a top 10 player. Just from the side, too, for Steph, of when you really think about what he did to the game of basketball, he completely changed it, right? There's only been a handful of players that have ever changed the game of basketball, right? And in my lifetime, and, you know, as much as I've studied the game, there's been like four players that have really changed the game, right? Kareem changed the game in many ways, having kids want to do the skyhook and then dunks being banned because of him. Jordan, for a variety of reasons. We don't need to go over all the reasons for Jordan, right? And then probably Steph. And Magic, too, just the way Magic would pass and everything. And people wanted to do the no-look passes and everything like that. And then Steph, you know, all respect to a LeBron or a Kobe or an Iverson. Iverson changed it in some different ways, even. But the way that Steph changed the game and changed the way that we look at the three-pointer, it's changed the entire foundation of basketball overall now. You have so many guys, and I see it when I call Dinos or Trojans games or, you know, girls high school basketball. You see the individual pull up on a 3-on-1 break and shoot a tray. And I think that's the influence of what Steph has done and changed where that was. Because before, the three wasn't the way that we look at it, the way that we look at it with Steph Curry now. And he's going to go down. I mean, statistically, he already has it. He's going to go down as the greatest shooter of all time. There's no doubt about that. It's a phenomenal just career to watch for Steph. And, you know, you kind of look at some of those guys that, you know, maybe he passes, but all respect to Oscar Robertson, one championship. I was kind of thinking today, like, why did we wait this long now to make this jump with Steph into the top 10 category? Because as great as Oscar is, and he averaged a triple-double, and he won an NBA championship, it's like, well, yeah, but now Russ has had, what, three of them and has an MVP. He doesn't have the championship. Well, it's a Laker, man. Well, yeah, the next year, but not about the Lakers right now. So it's just like, well, yeah, like he probably should have passed Oscar a while ago. All respect to Oscar. Fantastic. Maybe, and we don't give Oscar enough credit. we don't give Jerry West enough credit, right? And these are guys that are all in that conversation. I don't think John Havlicek gets half the respect he does. And this isn't a Hondo respect pod, but Hondo does not get the respect from people that Hondo definitely deserves. And we're going to have these conversations for the next week now about, you know, the top 10, and ESPN put out their anniversary team and everything like that, and where people need to be. But you look at Steph's overall resume, it's kind of hard to not put him into that top 10 now. And I think this ring mattered so much for Steph too, because he kind of needed to win it without Durant. You know, it was always still Steph's team. There was never a doubt about that, right? It was still Steph's team. But Durant gets those finals MVP, and Steph's a little bit in the background of everything because of what Kevin Durant is. And Durant still hasn't won an NBA championship since then. He just has those two. And for some people in Durant's career, there's a little bit of an asterisk because he did it on somebody else's team. And we'll see what happens this offseason of where Durant goes. And, you know, there's the rumbling with the Nets and everything like that. But as far as Steph goes now, he was the leader of this team. He is the heart of this team. And now he won a unanimous MVP, and he's won 4 NBA championships, 2 where he was the defining best player on this team. And that kind of stuff really matters a lot. And maybe that's what we were waiting for with making him go into that top 10. And, you know, the debate will be there the next few days of the spot for Steph. But at this point, the numbers just really don't lie. Their path was an interesting path, right? Both these, you know, it's funny, you know, there's always going to be, and I've already seen it, like, oh, this is an asterisk ring. And it just seems like, are we just not going to have anyone that doesn't have an asterisk ring? Because, you know, I go back to, you know, the last few championships we've had, right? And you go to the Golden State one, the Cleveland one, when Cleveland wins in 2016. And people go, oh, well, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, they would have won, right? Or, you know, the Raptors won. If Clay and Durant don't get hurt, the Dubs would have won. The Lakers won. Well, it was in the bubble. You know, even the Suns last year, the route they had of not facing a Clippers team with Kawhi, the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis healthy, and the Nuggets didn't have Jamal Murray. And you go to the path you get to. And at the end of the day, if you're the champion, you're the champion. And if you're saying anything is a plastic ring or a Mickey Mouse ring or anything, that's just sour grapes from a different set of fan bases. At the end of the day, if you're the team that has that championship, you won that championship. And the Dubs did. You could argue, okay, there was an easier path for them. Sure, they faced a Nuggets team that didn't have Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. on the team. Sure. And then they faced a Memphis team that seemed to really push them. I thought, all respects to Boston, I thought Memphis pushed them maybe the most at times. And that's the one series I will always wonder, what if Ja didn't get hurt? What if Ja didn't get hurt? But we'll never know. And you can't play the what if game. Because that's never going to get played, right? That's made for comic books and TV. Right now, we're in the here now, right? I've had a bunch of arguments of people like, oh, well, if this happened and this happened, they would be here. It's like, but they're not. This isn't watching Marvel What If, where you can be like, oh, what if Captain America was a zombie? No, there's no what if. There's just the right now. And the right now fact is that the Grizzlies didn't have Ja Morant. The Suns didn't make the Western Conference Finals. They faced a Mavs team with a hungry Luka, and they were the better team. And then they faced this Celtics team, and I'm sure the injury reports will come out in the next few days of Jason Tatum was dealing with this, and Rob Williams was dealing with this, and blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, the pictures you're going to see is Steph Curry and Klay and Wiggins and Dre holding that NBA championship, which means they're the NBA champions. Forever, eternally, 2022, Golden State Warriors are the NBA champions. When people look back 20 years from now and they look at the record book and they see who are the NBA champions, they're not going to be like, oh, well, it's Ja Morant, would have played. No, they're going to see Golden State Warriors were the NBA champions. And that's why I never really believe in the asterisk championships, because you just go to the path that you have. And Golden State took that path. and they ran with it. I, you know, this these playoffs as a whole, I think, were one of the weaker NBA playoffs that we did have in a long time. We had a lot of blowouts. I think we got to these finals, and these finals were pretty entertaining. I mean, today, once the Dubs came back from being back by 10, this kind of became obvious that it was going to be a Golden State win. I think even in the third quarter, you're like, okay, well, this seems to be the going the way that it's going to be a Golden State championship, right? So, and it was. And it was. And it was because of what Steph Curry is able to do on the court and what Jason Tatum wasn't able to do in one way and what Jaylen Brown tried to do in one way. And, you know, you turn the ball over that much, it's going to cost you. And here we are. So the Golden State Warriors are the NBA champions right now. And now we enter a very interesting offseason that, you know, I'll have a preview coming here in the next few days as we get ready to preview the draft and we preview some of the big free agents that are going to come up. And it's, I will say, it is not the biggest free agency this year. I think Zach LaVine is the key free agent in many people's minds, but it sounds like he's going back to Chicago. It'll be more about the trade pieces, right, of what does Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert do? What's going to happen with Bradley Beal? Will, you know, it seems like the Lakers are adapting to going with these three players still, with Braun, with AD, and Westbrook, and it could be the last ride in LA with Braun and Westbrook, so the Lakers better get their stuff together if that's what they're going to go with. And we, like I said, we just saw the Mavs added a Christian Wood to their team, so they're serious about pairing someone else with Luka now, and we'll see if they're able to bring back Jalen Brunson. And then if you look at the East, I think the Celtics have a definite chance of making it back to the NBA Finals next year, but another year with Philly of having Embiid with Harden, and will we get the old James Harden that we used to see? I can't rule that out entirely, you know, and having Tyrese Maxey there, and maybe they bring Dwight Howard back. Maybe they bring Andre Drummond back to have a backup big for Embiid. And what are the pieces that they could potentially add there? What are the Raptors going to do? Are the Raptors going to find that big that they need? Will they add a Rudy Gobert? Will they be part of a DeAndre Ayton trade? And so these are going to be the interesting things that we'll be seeing this offseason. And then the Nets is the biggest question mark of everything, of what's going to happen with Kyrie. Is he going to opt in? Is he going to try to demand a trade somewhere? What's going to happen with that? Does Durant want to stay in Brooklyn? What's going to happen there? What will the Bucks do? Will they? Who will they be looking to add to try to get back to the championship, right? There's so many questions that we have this offseason. Then we have this draft coming up, which is a really, really strong draft. And we're already getting trades. Michael Green's been traded. And Christian Wood's been traded. So, yeah, I think we're in for a heck of an offseason. It was a great season, not a great playoffs, but I think the one thing we take away from this season is what's coming, right? And I think, you know, seeing guys like Jason Tatum, who had a great playoffs, finals, maybe not the best, but, you know, Jason Tatum coming up and Ja Morant coming up and, you know, look at that Pelicans team that pushed that Suns squad there, right? And what Brandon Ingram can do, and maybe hopefully we see Zion back that next year. We saw a rise of Luka come forward for us, right? So the young guard is definitely coming forward. The next generation of the NBA is coming forward. But as of tonight, it is about the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors as they win their fourth championship in 8 years, and Stephen Curry propelled himself into the top 10 NBA players, in my opinion. And those conversations are going to be going for the next few days. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. We will see where everything goes. And draft coming up next week. We'll have some special coverage here of the draft at Fresh Take. And until next time, everyone, thanks for everyone. Check this out on IG Live and everyone now that's listening to this podcast. And until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the games, people.